these few minutes to close our service, I want you to know that the Lord, I can't tell you how much he arrested me to give Karen that time. And that degree of time too. And I believe that you will see a direct connection. Karen is fine. You'll see a direct connection, I hope, by the time we get to the end of this service. So we're going to have a couple of readings, which I'll put the first one on the screen, if I may. And then I'll take a few moments to unpack these. I feel that it is just so important that we get this stuff. Can you read that okay up there? Is that really bright enough? Okay, so the first one is taken from Romans 1. It's nothing more than the way that Paul introduces the letter. We're not studying the letter, just this opening line of introduction. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand to the prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who is to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'd like us too to turn to a second passage that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. One should never call the word of God abrupt, but the words are, in a way, in the light of what we have heard. It is God's word that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honourable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish all men for such sins, as we have already told you and warned you, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. One of the best questions that we could ask ourselves this morning is, how full of the Holy Spirit are you? I wished I had a test tube with naught at the bottom, empty, 10 at the top. And I wished I could pour a little of me into it each day and look at the graduations. But I wonder where I would guess. And I wonder where your line might be. The Bible talks of Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible clearly tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know the biblical interpretation of the word to be filled? It comes from the Greek, it means to be full. It's profound, eh? And to be full means up to the top with no gaps left. How many would agree that's a fairly good interpretation of the word full? I don't mean that boastfully, I just don't know how else to say it. Oh, don't you wish you could live like that? Full of the Holy Spirit. What, if I had to title the sort of stuff that God's been speaking to me about and on tone you've had to listen to when I've stuck around long enough to do it, if I put a title all of those, it would be Life Beyond Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to think about that. Just how full are you? And of course we all know that it is directly related to what you've put in. If you've filled yourself with the wrong stuff and then come to church on Sunday, it's not long before you understand that you are becoming a religious person without a walk. And that you can sing the hymns and raise your hands and say the prayers. But the issue is that you are not full of the Holy Spirit. Something has gone wrong. It is directly related to how you feed your soul. Put unwholesome stuff in, and unwholesome stuff comes out. Put good stuff in, and good stuff comes out. If you look at the last line, therefore he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Who gives you his Holy Spirit. The Bible says, go on being filled in Ephesians with the Holy Spirit. And of course, I have read some books. I theologically don't agree with them. You will have to make your own choice. There are plenty of people who want the convenience of the opposite theological position here. But my view here is not that he is saying, who once sometimes back gave you his Holy Spirit, and once you've got it, you can never lose it. Otherwise, why would he say to us, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit? I am desperate that what I experienced of the baptism of the Spirit is an ongoing process in my life for the rest of life by being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so to me here, there is a direct relationship between the way that you live your life and the measure to which you receive the Holy Spirit. Let me go back to our first scripture. Can we just go backwards to our first scripture? I want you to notice this. Paul titles himself as a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, and so on. Talks about the gospel, the great message of the good news of Jesus Christ, that men and women can be saved. Of course, he's the great evangelist. And he says the gospel that was promised by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, we're referring to the Old Testament there. And he is saying, this is the greatest news there ever was, and it is about Jesus. And then he says, as to his human descent, in other words, genealogically, humanly, you can trace his ancestry back to probably his most famous relative, King David. And of course, most of us know that we display the likeness of our parents to some degree. That is simply saying, humanly, that was his ancestry. But in respect of his identity as the Son of God, he was declared with power to be the Son of God. But how? Through what spirit did he declare the power of God? The spirit of holiness. Do you know, I have never, ever in my life, I don't think, departed from this. I love Jesus. I love the Father. I'm committed to living the rest of my life to following Jesus. I am so grateful that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful that I speak in tongues. I'm privileged to have the job that I have. Not great sound. Did you book that, love? I'm so grateful to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I'd give anything for? To have more power when we pray for. I would give anything for that. I will not let us, or as a church, get back to God doesn't do those things today. And I cannot tolerate any longer living in a place where we pray for the sick and give thanks for our medical profession, who are the most remarkable people. That's not in question. But it doesn't actually matter what it's for. I still want to experience something of the power of God. Would you not say amen? Amen? And then we see it again, and we'll go back to the second scripture. Oh, it's brutal. That you should avoid sexual immorality and learn to control yourself. That each of you should learn the damaging effect of passionate lust. Now, let me be absolutely clear here. There are dozens of things which, if you gave it to the hands of an overly pious group of people, they would leave you feeling that some of the greatest gifts that God has ever given us are not to be engaged in. This world is beautiful. What is the problem is illegitimately taking that until God puts it into your hands. So let's not start talking like sort of pious. What's the word I'm looking for? Monks. No, let's not do that. But you know, the devil came to Jesus and said, you can have all the kingdoms of the world. Why did Jesus not say, excuse me, they are not yours to give away. Actually, I have lent them to you for a while, but if you want to know, you're talking to the guy who created them out of nothing. Did you notice that he didn't even assert his right as a righteous person to have them? He simply stood on God's word and said, and I can't remember what he said, it doesn't actually matter. But guess who owns the kingdoms of the world right now? Through the cross. He didn't take them illegitimately. He took them legitimately. And so it says, we should not behave this way. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he that rejects this instruction rejects the very one who gives you your holy. You cannot, listen to me guys, you cannot be feeding your face on the wrong stuff on Friday evening, then prepare for stuff on Sunday and say, give me your Holy Spirit. Go off to do whatever God has called you to do and then wonder why God doesn't move in power. It is not possible. It just doesn't work. The best example of this is found in the temptation of Jesus. And I'll simply quote it to you. I read an interesting quote in a book I was reading this week. Jesus' ability to release power was based on two things. First, the power of a sinless life. Second, the power of a life yielded completely to the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, he is baptized. The Father speaks from heaven, pours the Holy Spirit upon him, and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We have a sinless life. The Bible records, he was then led by the Spirit and into the wilderness. And it uses these words. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There is something that we've done before, but it is so important to notice this. After the temptation was finished, Jesus returned to Galilee. How? In the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see? Led in, full, comes out in the power. Now, was that just that Luke was looking for alternative words? They say if you write an essay, you shouldn't keep writing the same words. Or is there an incredible truth? What was the difference between being led in, full, and coming out in power? I would suggest to you there was a momentary shot as he walked away, picture, image, a moment when he was full and led. When he came out in the power of the Spirit, we have another image. I tell you what made the difference, what went on between the first and the second image. There was a personal, secret confrontation between himself and the devil, where the devil presented him with everything that he legitimately had a right to, however, was not the Father's will. And it was not about pleasing his passions. And oh, I stand in such admiration of 40 days of fasting. And I tell you, give me one and I'm as miserable as could be. But 40. Where he personally engaged the devil and stood on God's word rather than his own fancies. What an amazing thing. But perhaps even this is significant. Luke 4 goes on to record this, and Jesus came out in the power of the Spirit and he went to the synagogue. And we have Luke recording in chapter 4 his first miracle. It records there that there was a man possessed by an evil spirit, and the evil spirit cries out something like this, "Ha, what have you got to do with me? I know that you're the Son of God." And Jesus rebukes the spirit. In fact, I must just make sure I read it to you. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha, what do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus addresses it. Do you know the most significant thing to me about that event? Is that the man didn't ask for help. Jesus didn't discern the presence. Neither did he open the conversation with the evil spirit. The power of the presence exposed the presence. Just like that. There was no seeking of an event. Just a reaction to the presence of God. And so, if life is to be what it should be beyond baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to suggest to you how each one of us engages with temptation and the need to package our lives to meet our needs rather than the will of God has got direct relationship between what has happened in the past and how much power there is now. The walk is all significant. I'm no saint. I know you think differently. There are some times when I wake up in the morning and there's stuff going on and I say something to myself that then I need to address myself very clearly. I'm actually pretty faithful at reading my Bible in the morning and nearly as faithful at praying. I'm not so good at that one. But here's the worst thing. Oh, I suppose I ought to read my Bible. What do you mean ought to read your Bible? I ought to be in church on Sunday. I ought to do this. Oh no, I'm not being naive. I know there are days when I have to do what I don't feel like doing. I live in a body that doesn't want to always cooperate with God. But it's pretty scary if I am beginning to do the right thing but without the right passions. Is it not? Yes. That becomes scary. I read in Psalm 119, verse 70, "Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but my delight is in your law." My delight. And so it goes on to say exactly the same thing. "Your words are more precious to me than gold." I wonder how welcoming we are to the Holy Spirit. I wonder if the measure of fullness is directly related to our appetite. How welcoming. When the Holy Spirit taps on your life and you say, "Holy Spirit, I want more of you in my life. in that corner. That's your chair. Or are we ready to say, it's all yours, you can walk where you like. You can do as you like, you can challenge what you like. Ephesians 4 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. You might be quite relieved. Oh, I'm going to live dangerously. Come on, let's do it. You might be quite relieved that there's very little sexual immorality in your life and that you've learned to control your passions. That is until you want to have a gossip about that person that has got right under your skin. Even the way that we talk should be holy and upright and true and pure. The Bible says in that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. It says get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. It's so simple. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. I need to close. Every Christian at some point is found in a crisis. This is not, by the way, a comment on Karen. I'm admiring her, loving her. I love what she said this morning. But how many of you... Well, here it is. Here it goes, something like this. I'd quite like to watch that TV program, Lord. Oh, but I can't, of course, because I'm preaching on Sunday. What difference does preaching on Sunday make? Do you know, the moment we have spiritual responsibility, we start to tidy up a little. Or otherwise, life's in a mess, but you know, it's fine, you're in control. Besides, everybody else behaves like it, why shouldn't you? But do you know when the crisis is coming, your crisis? With loving respect to somebody who has spent most of the week laid low, feeling a little sorry for himself, it's surprising how illness improves your prayer life. Isn't it? It finds you out. That is not a criticism of anybody here. I'm merely exposing where I'm at. It's true, isn't it, Ivan? Bless your heart. Isn't it good that God is merciful and compassionate? But you're going to have your crisis come. It is. There will come a day when your son or daughter is involved in a car accident and you're travelling to hospital. There will come a day when you get your chest pains. There will come a day, it will come. God, help me to be ready for that day. By being found to be full of the Holy Spirit. So that I'm not praying out of the emergency. Jesus comes down off the mountain of transfiguration, finds his disciples, can't deal with the situation. He drives the demon out, does it in a few seconds. Then the disciples come back and say, why did it work for you and not for us? And he says, those this sort don't come out other than by prayer and fasting. Now the big question is when did Jesus organize the prayer meeting and the fasting? Or maybe it's a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Not an event. And maybe what made the difference was not how he was led in or how he was pictured when he came out. Maybe what went on between the two defines the difference. That's why we should lead holy and pure lives. Listen, there is nothing wrong with being tempted. Guess what? When you're tempted, you're in very good company. I don't know what it is that tempts you, but every time that flashes before you and you get that kind of feeling, I've got to, that's a very normal feeling. In fact, the Son of God experienced temptation. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet holy and undefiled. Amen. We ourselves have got to stop living fraudulent lives that have learned to secularise one corner of the room and spiritualise the other and dress the whole lot up as looking all right. Nobody is pretending we don't have our faults. Nobody is not tempted, and my life is riddled with failure. I am so grateful for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. However, it is important that we are sanctified. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, so that he may give us his Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. The opposite brings a phrase to mind. God forbid that we ever get there. But I think it was Jesus that said, of those that were content to look spiritual and fail in their own individual walk of holiness before God, it had something to do with bones in whitewashed sepulchres. God deliver us from that. Amen. I would like to raise up a congregation of people that seek not miracles of healing, not the manifestations of the Spirit, but so seek the face of God and the presence of God and the fullness of the Spirit that where we go, people get healed and demons come out without addressing the demon, without somebody else asking for it, and without us seeking the ministry. So great is the presence of God in the assembly of the gathering of the people that will be directly related to our joint ability to walk holy, godly, upright lives and to seek his face and ask him to fill us more with his Holy Spirit. God grant us the ability to do that as a congregation. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Lord, it always seems to be my problem just as the service is ending that the time has gone and we apologise for it. But Lord, I don't believe you want us to have some kind of appeal. Don't believe you want us to play a certain bit of music. We do want to ask, Lord, that you would confront us in our private lives when we face our temptation. And we pray, Lord, that there would be such a change in our hearts and in this congregation that our lives would no longer be tolerant of things that are unholy, but of holy. And we pray, Lord, that you will fill us with your Spirit, but we seek the power of your presence as we gather in this place. And may we see the periphery manifestations of the presence of your Spirit as we seek your face. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Tea and coffee.